Bringing to you Daf Yomi today on the road. And today's Daf is Daf Lamed Hey. We're holding right on the continuation of the story of the Meraglim on the third line. So we continue to Darsh now in the Parsha. By the Saprulo, Vayomru, Banu El Aretz Hashesh Lachtanu, Vagam Savat Chalavut Vashi, and so on. So they began by saying that the Eretz Yisrael is wonderful. Steve, and then afterwards they continued to say, "Efeski Aza Amayer Shev La'aretz Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Meir." This is because Kol Hashon Hara She'in Bo Dvar Emet B'Tchilato. Why do they begin saying something so nice? Because if you don't speak with things that are real and true, In Mitkayim B'Sofo Lo Hashon Hara can't actually take its place to have people believe it. Therefore, the Meraglim began by saying something special. Continues the Parsha to say, "Vayas Kalev et Ha'am El Moshe." So Kalev got everybody to be quiet. El Moshe, in other words, things that he was speaking about Moshe. So they thought the people were listening to him that he had something to add to show how terrible Moshe was. Omar Rabbah, this means she'esitan. Kalev was meisit them. Midvarim. And he actually made them think that he was going to go and he was going to attack Moshe. So, Patach Yoshua, the country story. So, what happened? He sees now that Yoshua wants to speak. Amilei, so they told him, Dein Rosh Kitia, this guy doesn't have any children. He's not going to have any chelek anyway in Eretz Yisrael. Sure, he can talk. Yimalel, this guy should speak. So they shut him up. So Kalev said to himself, Amar, Imishnayin, if I try to say something, Amre Bimilta, they'll find something to say about me to shut me up also. And then the Chasminli, they'll keep me quiet, I won't be able to protest. Amar Lahen, so therefore decided to do like this. He says to them, V'chizogovada salonu ben Amram, it's not bad enough. What Ben Amram has done for us here, you think this is the only thing? He's been doing these kind of horrible things from the beginning. So Savre being Nute Kamishtoi. So they were convinced he was going to come out with this whole litany of complaints against Moshe Rabbeinu. Ishtiku, they're quiet, they shut everybody up. I listened to this man. Amar Lo Uz, they said, this is not the only thing he did. He also was a Tzionim Mitzrayim, the Karalonu et Yam, the Chilonu et Aman. Imagine all these incredible things that he's done for us, taking us out of Mitzrayim, made our way to the Yamsuf, has kept us and fed us in the Midbar. I say him Yomar Asus Selamot Abul Rakia, Lo Nishmalo. Whatever he says, if he says build ladders and go up to the sky, I would listen to him, don't you think? So then, Kalev continues, Alona Levi Arashnota, let's go up, meaning if necessary, Alona Le Adarakia, and we'll be Yorish. The Anashim Asher Aluimo Amru Lo Nuchala Alot. So Lo Nuchala Alot, what did they say? Kazako Mimenu, Omru Kanina Bar Papa, the Vargadodi Brumer Aglimbo Tasha A. The Maglim is saying that they really crossed the red line. In order to say that Kalev was wrong, they continue to say Kichazaku Mimenu. When they say Mimenu, it's not the pshat Mimenu from us, but Mimenu is mashma from him, meaning from Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So we say Atikrei Mimenu El Mimenu. It's not just from us that they're stronger, but they're stronger even than Hakadosh Baruch Hu himself. There'd be no way that it would be possible for him to actually conquer his soul for us. Shafilu ba'ala bayit, eno yecholo tzike lav misham. Even now, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given now something over to someone to take care of. So it's a marshal for a ba'ala bayit. And now, when it comes time to take his thing, he can't get rid of them. We're going to talk HaKadosh Baruch Hu, put it into the hands of Canaan to take care of. But now there's no way he can get his things away from them. They've taken over. Furthermore, continuing, Benahu's point is that since we're not supposed to be going into Eretz Yisrael, but they're at the maze, supposed to be going in as an army. After all, you sent us to look it over. We should do it all the way it's normally done. There's no possible way to do it normally. I got a Gottesbrofer can't do it either. This is supposed to be all there on Teva. Eretz Ochelet Yoshevei. And when they say that it's a land that swallows its people alive, Dorash Rava. So Rava said the our point of view was, Avara Kadosh Baruch Hu, Anicha Shavtia L'tova. I wanted them to see Eretz Yisrael that a lot of people would be dying in. Ve'im Chashavo L'ra'ah. They thought that was a bad thing. Well, what was the intent? Anicha Shavtia L'tova. D'chol Eich Adamatu. Neit Chashiva Tidu. Every place that they got to, the Meraglim, the most important guy in town, the leader, would die, so that everybody would be involved in the funeral and in the planning and the public processions, so they wouldn't notice the Meraglim. They're not going to start asking, who are these guys? And that way they wouldn't notice them among all the crowds, and they'd be able to get away with murder. Well, others learned that what happened was that some people died. Who was that who died? Iyov died. Iyov died because his chus could have been magain on the Umas HaElam. So that's why we find later on, that their protection is gone. Their protection was Iyov. Everybody was going to the spadium on Iyov, so that they, the Meraglim, could get away with traveling around at ease. But the Meraglim, they saw that wherever they're going, apparently there's plagues of death. That's why they said, Eretz Ochelet Yoshevei. Continue the Meraglim, v'nehi be'ininu kechagavim, v'chein ayinu be'ineihem. So we, in our own eyes, looked at ourselves as grasshoppers. That's how they saw us. That's the famous part. When a person sees himself as a grasshopper, that's the way that he's perceived. Amrim Mesharshia, Mraglim Shkareyav. You see that they're Shekranim? Because look, I mean, Bishlama, that a person could say how he thinks he could say. Fine. When I say that's how you felt, maybe that's how you felt. But Elavachena, Yinubeinehem. How can you say how it is that you appear to others? That's projection. Minavayade, how could they really know? So that means that they're willing to make some type of unjustified leap and declare it as the truth? Valohi, but that's not really true. Because they did have a basis to say that they were looked at as Chagavim. Because what happened was, when the people would come from back from the Batei Kvarot after they buried the people that were so chasher, so what they would do is, the derech of the culture was, everybody would sit under a big tree, and then they would bring food to the avelim. They would set up this oil there. So what happened is, when the Meraglim saw what was going on, they were terrified. There's giants all over. So they went and climbed up into the trees, died out. Shamei the Ka'amri, and they hear the people on the ground saying to one another, the weirdest thing, Kachazin Inchi the Domalakamsi Bilani. We saw in the trees, we saw human looking ants. They're just like little tiny people. So they figured, that's us. Everybody cried that night. The day that the Meraglim came back and reported was Erev Tisha B'Av. It was the day, that night, the crying night, that was Lel Tisha B'Av. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I see these guys like to cry. This day will become for them a day of everlasting crying. Vayomro kol ha'edaler gomotam ba'avanim. So on the one hand, it says everybody was going now to stone Moshe and Aaron. And on the other hand, it says, "Echtiv v'chvod Hashem nireh ba'amoed." What's the connection between the two? Amro pir barava, the connection is. Malam b'shirat lo avanim v'zrakum kol b'imara. Then we're gonna stone their taina. What's connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu all along? And so, because of the avanim, that's the v'chvod Hashem nireh, and that's really what they had in Kavona. So that the two were unfortunately profoundly connected. It says in the plague. What is the plague supposed to be? Omer Shemen Lakish. Shemetu mitam shona. They died a very strange death, a death that was befitting to people who would be motzi tibara'ah. Omer Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, Adorach Rabbi Shila Ishkar Timarta, Malamech Nishtarvev Lishonam Venafal Av Tiburam. This teaches us that their tongue started to hang out of their mouths and fell all the way to their navel. Voyu tola'im yotzot milashonam. So just like this is basically you eat up your own flesh. So little maggots. Maggots crawled out of their tongues, which is what Lashon Hara is all about. Death maggots. Climbed into their navel. Show this is their essence. Out of their navel, back into their tongue. Until they ate themselves up. That's very simple. They just choked to death. Askara mate. Because Askara is the fitting punishment for Lashon Hara. Since it chokes you to death, you want to speak, use your lungs and mouth. The entire area swells up until you can't even take in any air anymore. Okay, now we're going back to the Braita that we had before, where we were talking about the splitting of the Yarden, the way that Bnei Yisrael went through the Yarden. And that the Kohanim stood in their place, it sat there, until everyone got to the other side. So now all of this past discussion was agav, and now we're back to continuing that story. V'kivan she'alah ha'acharon shebi Yisrael ben ha'yardei. It says that when the last of the Jews went out of the Yarden, so then chozru mayim limekoman, the Kohanim came out, and the water started flowing again. Shenemar vayhi ka'alot ha'kohanim nasei Aaron brit Hashem mitoch ha'yardein nitku kapot ragle ha'kohanim al ha'charava vayashuvu mei ha'yardein lemekomam vayalchu titmo shoshom ha'bogedotav. So nimtza, you find that after the Kohanim went back up to the ground, the Kohanim had only dipped their toes in the water and everything split. But it never says that they crossed. So now when the Kohanim went back out, they find themselves back on the same side where they had been. And now everybody else is across the other side. This is a rather weird story. So Nimtza, it turns out that Aaron v'Nosav v'Kohanim b'tzad echad. So on the eastern bank, you find the Aaron and those who were carrying it, the Kohanim, that were with it. And the rest of Klal Yisrael, Yisrael b'tzad echad, and they're on the west bank. Nasa Arunet Nasav, and suddenly the Aaron lifted everybody up, the Avar, and crossed in the air over the Yarden to the other side. Shenema, Vayika Asher Tam Kolam Lavor, Vayavor Aaron Hashem Vakohanim, Bifnei Ha'am. The Avar Zeh, because of this that Uzzah couldn't figure out, and you see from here, that the Aaron is perfectly capable of carrying the people. It does not need people to carry it. This was the reason that Ne'enash Uzzah was the parents of Uzzah, because he thought he had to protect the Aaron. Shnema vayavoa adgoran kidon, vayishlach azad Uzzah ad yado, lechot et Aaron kishabtu apaka. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki ilu said to Uzzah, what's the matter with you? Don't you know the, obviously it doesn't mean literally on Marlow, in other words, but directed towards, Anhorka was directed towards it. As if to say, Uza. No savnasa. Don't you understand that the Aron carries those who carries it all the time? That's smaller version where you think it can't take care of itself, that it's not going to fall. Since we've brought up now the Maisa of Peretz Uza, so we want to be medayik already in some of the issues that are mentioned over there. It says in this, Vayichar af Hashem Uza, Vayakeu Sham al Hashal, Shad al Hashal. Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Elazar argued about the meaning, significance of al Hashal. Chadamar al Iskei Shalom, which means that it's a getter of Shalom, meaning Shoge. It's the fact that he wasn't careful.
Chadamar Shasat Sochad Bifanav, Shal, means to be Mishal Shel, to allow something to come out. It's mashba that he actually defecated around the Aron, near the Aron. Vayomot Shem Yim Aron Elokim. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, you shouldn't think that he lost the Sefirot Olam Haba, because it was a Bal Olam Haba, Shenemar Yim Aron Elokim. Just like the Aron Elokim is the Olam Kayam, because after all, the Aron was buried by Yoshio HaMelech to make sure it was never hurt. It was kept for use later. Afuza balo lamapa. Vayichar le David al asher parat Hashem peretz buuza. What is the lotion of vayichar? I mean, vayichar doesn't make sense. It wasn't that he was angry. It's that he was shaken. So we use the lotion of vayichar in that way. Amar Rabbi Elazar, it means shenishtanu panav. David's face changed kicharara. Like a blackened coal, like the type of bread that you cook on open coals. It's very, very dirty. So as he turned gray. Elameata, kol echad echtiva yichar achinami. Are you going to say that every time it says vayichar in the Torah, that's what it means? No, every other time it means anger because it's included in the lashon of af. Always says vayichar af. So atam ketiv vayichar together with af, and over there it clearly means the breathing, deep breathing that comes with anger. But ochal oksiv af. Therefore, we wonder what it would mean. Norashuav mipnei man enash David. Why was David punished in this way? To change the tremendous happiness that he was involved in sudden misery, as if it was a slap across his face, and Uza should die through his desire to bring in the Aron. It's because he called Divrei Torah songs. Shnimer Zmirot Ayulich Hukecha Bevet Megurai. When I was running away from my enemies, I was so terrified. It's like I lived in terror, Beit Megurai. The thing that kept me going were your chukim, your Torah. It was like a song. Marlo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to David, Divrei Torah, Shekatuv Behem HaTayif Einecha Bo Veinenu. But do you think that Divrei Torah is something that you use to take comfort in? Divrei Torah is war. You're Isaac and Torah, with all of the worries of needing to make sure that you keep all of it clear, make no mistake, and you turn it around at Takoreo Tams Mirot. To you, this is something of what? It's for your personal comfort. Areni Mach Shilchabed Avar Shafilu Tinokocho Beit Rabban Yudimotu. Because of that, I am going to cause you to fail in something that any child who would properly take care of his Torah, would properly review for his tests in school, he would know. It's because you viewed Divrei Torah, took it so lightly that you couldn't know it. And what is that? Tichtiv says Beferish and Apostle, the Nekat Lonatan. Nekat weren't given any of the Agalot. Ki Avodat HaKodesh Aleihem, the Katef Yisau, that it has to be carried Dafka on the shoulder. And you went ahead. David HaMelech was nichshel to bring it in a wagon. That's how the whole thing began. Now that we've spoken about the way in which the Torah is marketed, the Orin, Gemara wants to also bring more inyanim of the Kedusha Sa'orin from the story of its capture at the time of Eli, which the Plishtim had captured it. Those Plishtim, they sent the Orin back also in an Agolah. So it says over there, but as they came back, Vayach, beyond Shebet Shemesh, Gia Ra'uba Aron Hashem, came to Beit Shemesh. It says that people in Beit Shemesh were killed because of the Orin. It says there, Vayach Ba'am Shemimish, Chamishim Elef Ish. What does this mean? Mishum de Ra'u, what? If they looked at the Orin, Vayach, so therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes them. Yela, says the Gemara, Rabbi Avur, Rabbi Elazar. Or Chalik, what was the problem? Chadomar, Kotrim, Mishnah Avim are you? Basically, they didn't stop working. So involved in their work, they continued to do work. And Mishnah Avim, while they were working. Chadomar, Mile Nami Omur. And the other one says, we don't know which one says which, but the other one says that they spoke in a way that was a bizoyant. They said, Man Amri Dimrayet. So what exactly did we say that got you all upset and that you had to run away? What got you mad that you should now turn away from us? You couldn't save yourself from the Plishtim. Uman Ata Alach Defayast. And exactly who went there to take good care of you, to calm you down, that you should come back? It's like you speak to a woman who got angry for no reason. You had to walk away, and now you decide to come back. So, talking that way to the Orin Hashem, who got you angry, and who calmed you down? Was it Mizoyan? And therefore, Vayach Bam Shimimish, V'chamishim Elefish. Which one was it? Is it Shimimish, or is it Chamishim Elefish? It says V'chamishim Elefish. What is it? Each time it's Ish, Shimimish. So Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Lazar argue about this also. Chad Amar, that it was actually people that died were Shevimish. Shevimish Ayu. Except that they were the equivalent, each one of them. Kol Echad V'Echad Shakur Chachamishim Elef. It's like an Adarga of a Sar of Chamishim Elef. Chad Amar, Chamishim Elef Ayu. Others say that it was actually 50,000 people lost their lives. Kol echad ve'echad shakur k'shivim sanhedrin. Except that, because the word shivim, after all, is very suggestive. That it's, each one of them was shakur k'sanhedrin. Getting back now to the parasha Peretz Be'uza. So after the mice of Uza, David HaMelech brought the Oren HaGreis into Beit Oved Edom HaGiti, and there it was for 3 months. Even though Rashi says 6 months, there must be some kind of mistake. And at that point, they brought the Orin to the Eil in Ir David to prepare it for the Beis HaMikdash. They made a tremendous simcha. Vayikit Sa'adu Nasei Aron Hashem Shishit Shishat Sa'adim. Every 6 steps, Vayizbach Shor Umri. In Divrei HaYomim, it says, 15, there it says, Shiva Parim, Shiva Elim, Stira. Was it Shor Umri, or was it Shiva Parim, Shiva Elim? Omar of Papa Bashua, Alkol Psiya Psiya, Shor Umri, Shesh Shesh Psiya, Shiva Parim, Shiva Elim. So even though it says Vayi Kitzaduno Se'aron Hashem Shishat Sadim. What it meant is on each of those Sa'adim, there was Shormuri, and then there was something, what was unique about Shisha? At every 6 steps, they also brought Shiva Parim v'Shiva Elim. Omar Rav Chista, Rav Chista asked for Papa in Cain, relate that Kol Eretz Yisrael Bamot, what's the pshat? So it means what? They built a Mizbeach for every step. And brought a carbon there. It's a little bit absurd. Armenian Avertis Rose to have a book of Miyucha for Corbin. You're cheapening it. You're bringing up the Ari. You're taking it to the Beis HaMikdash. And you're turning the whole thing into one long bummer. I don't think that's what it means. Elon Rav Chista, of course, Sheish Vishesh Psiyo, Shoromri, of course, Shishah Starim, Shosheish Psiyo, Shiva Torim Vishiva Imi. So now the other Rabba was each, there was in fact groups of six. So each group of six Psiyo was Shoromri. Each six groups of that were Shiva Torim Vishiva Imi. He asked the Gemara, how about this? It says, Ketiv in Divya Yomim, when it talks about the Maisa of Uzzah, it says, Vayavo Agoran Kidon, and there Vayishlach Uzzah Yado. But in Shmuel, in the same story of Maisa Uzzah, Ketiv, Vayavo Agoran Nachon, Vayishlach Uzzah. So which one is it? Is it Kidon or Nachon? And says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, Betchila Kidon. Originally, the name of the place was called Kidon, because after all, that would be the expression of the Midas Adin, and like a spear that killed Uzzah. Basov, after they decided to move it from there, after the 3 months, and everything went well in Goren, Oved Edom Hagiti, in Beit Oved Edom Hagiti, they changed it to Nachon. Nachon in the sense of Hachona. It was the place in which they were Mechin, the Beit HaMikdash, and the place itself that ended up being Mechin, which is called Machon Meshivtecha. And the place where the Oren was Gerim, his Bayit Nachon. So it built his Bayit. That was a riot to them that if they saw that so many brochas came from having the Oren, it was a riot to them that it was time indeed to bring it into the base Machon Olami. Now the Gemara goes back to the story. We've been popping in and out of different levels here. Let's pop out back to the level of the crossing of the Yarden, which is what this whole story began with. So the Braita continues, Nimtzeita Ataomer, Shloshar Minei Avanim Hayu. There were three sets of Avanim that are mentioned in the Torah. Echad Sheikim Moshe Beretz Moab, where over there it says at the beginning of Dvorim, Shenamar, Be'ever HaYarden, Be'eretz Moab, Ho'il Moshe Be'er, Et HaTorah Hazot. And afterwards, the Kitavo, when it speaks about the Akomas HaAvonim, that is going to be in Hargriz and Har Eval, over there it says, V'chatavta Aleihem, Et Kol Divrei HaTorah Hazot, also, Ba'er Etev. So we learn up. Xerushava, Be'er and Ba'er. So just like in Kitavo, it's referring to the Avonim, that were put on Arival. So too, over here, the Be'er, which is at the beginning, Be'erite, for Moshe Rabbeinu's Pirish at Sefer Dvorim, was also not just to speak it out, but also was through Hakamat Avonim. The second group of Avonim, Echad Sheikim Yehoshua, Betocha Yarden, and over there, that was what we had discussed earlier while they were crossing. The Achat Sheikim, those were the Avonim that they took out of the Yarden, that they brought to Gilgal. Either we had the Machlokas earlier, whether they were the same Avonim that had been brought all the way to Hargriz and Naraival, Machlokas for Din Rav Elazar, or whether it was all took place really in the same place.
How exactly was the Torah written on the day of Knisal Aretz? So here our assumption is like the Tosefta that we're talking about on the Mizbeach. Tosefta brings it as a Tosefta, but the Yerushalmi brings it really a Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. But it was written on the Mizbeach directly, or whether it was written on the stones that were surrounding the place where they stayed. Because it says, Bamalon, Asher Nalin Shem. So, Rabbi Yehuda Emer, Agabi Avanim Katvu. So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, they wrote it directly on the stone. Shem Rechataftata Al Avanim et Kol Divrei HaTorah Zod Bar Hetev. So, Mashma, you write it directly on the stone, and not on any surfacing that's on the stone itself. And then the other approach is that afterwards they wrote it on the Sid. Because then it's, afterwards it says, Hakimota lachavanim gedolot, v'saratot on the Sid. You see, it needed to be whitewashed. But the other approach is, Amar Rabbi Shimon, to Rabbi Yehuda, Lidvarech, it makes sense what you're saying. That first they wrote it on the stones and then they covered it over with Sid. So then how exactly was the message of the Shivim Lashon supposed to get across? And the point of writing the Bar Hetev B'Shivim Lashon was that it should be available for the Umayyads to be able to see what the value of Torah was and to do Teshuvah. According to you, it was covered with Sid. So what was the point of writing something and then covering it? It seems absurd. Omar Los, Rabbi Yudah, said to Rabbi Shimon, that's not a kasha. Binay Teira, that there was a particular insight that was given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the Umay Sa'ilam of that time, that although it was covered with seed, they had the sense that something was hidden underneath those stones. So Binay Teira, Natan Ben HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'Shigron HaTerim, Shalahem, so they sent their notaries. Notary is a sofer. And those notaries came. The kilpuas hasid, they peeled off carefully the seed, vihisi'ua, and they copied over the Torah and brought it to all of the world. Because of the fact that there was no response to this incredible message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent to the entire world to give them an opportunity. Because of that, they're finished. And their only hope is to burn forever, unless they're Mizgayer. Shayalahem lilmod velolamdu. They had an opportunity to learn, and they didn't take that opportunity. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, there was no choice but to, the only chance that they had was that they could have, they gone there and they could have copied it over. And so after they copied it, they had a chance. We'll see, according to Rabbi Shimon, it wasn't necessary to do this. The stones were there and were available for everybody to read, because he said it's absurd to put it underneath the seed. Like this, it was a special event. Rabbi Shimon is chaylik, and he says, Rabbi Shimon Eimer al gabi sid ketavu, they wrote it directly on the seed, and said it would be readable. And then everybody could read it from that point on, so it wasn't necessary to bring it, and it was one-time opportunity, and which was going to disappear, and so on, with the Bina Yetera. And so then, not only that, but since the whole point was, according to Rabbi Shimon, that it should be available always for reading, l'dayreis, they wrote on the bottom of the Avonim, Katvulahem, they wrote on the bottom of the Avonim Lamata at the end of Kolatera Kula an amazing message to tell them, Laman Asher lo yelamdu etzchem la'asot kichol tu avatam asher asu le'elohim. So they wrote down that posik in order to teach that they have nothing against the goyim, and that it's not that they want to chas v'shalom kill anybody. It's just they want them to know that their only problem with them is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them that they can't allow them to live there, acharem tach remain, because otherwise they will be affected by them, which gave them the message that if they wanted to do teshuva and they wanted to change their minds, that they could. Hello, Madhata. So from here you see, says the Gemara Medayik, that since they wrote that message, Sh'im hayu chazrim b'teshuvah, hayu mekavlim otam. There was no mitzvah to get rid of anybody other than to save them. Now, l'maisi, we have a very important machlokas Rashi and Tosfos about how to understand that. According to Rashi, this is only a reference to goyim in chutz laretz, because there was still a mitzvah no matter what. There was still a mitzvah to destroy those who were in Eretz Yisrael. But those of the Shiva Amami that were not in Eretz Yisrael, so they wanted them to know that they had no mitzvah to be machrim them. But Tosfos says that that's not the case. That, in fact, the only chiyuv to be machrim was after the war began with Yoshua. But in advance, and this is talking about in advance, this is the time that Yoshua was sending messages. And the Gemara says that they sent really three separate messages, and he gave them an opportunity. Whoever wanted to be mashlim could be mashlim before the war began. And it's arotzel ashlim yashlim. You want to fight, you can fight. But mashman, if anybody wanted to be mashman, he wouldn't have killed them. So therefore, according to the way Tosis is understanding, this was a message to all of the Amim, even those that were in Eretz Yisrael, even from the Shiva Amim. Fine. Okay, but in either event, according to Rabbi Shimon, the whole point was a message to the Umay. So it would be absurd to cover it over with Sid. Not only was it a message in terms of the Torah, but it was a message about Klal Yisrael's intentions. That they should know that we have nothing against the Goyim. Well, my Rava Bar Shila, my time to Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Shimon, that it was written on top of the Sid. Where does he see it was written on top of the Sid, besides the Sfora? The Chtiva, you Amim Misrafot Sid? Al Iske Sid. That which destroyed the Umays is that they refused to respond to that which was written on the Sid, which was the Kol HaTorah Kula in this message. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda said, no, it means that the Amim are Misrafot Sid, meaning the Ki Sid, Ma Sid Eno Takana L'Sreifa, Af Otam HaKutim Eno Takana L'Sreifa. The same way that the only way to get whitewash is to take the lime and to burn it. You put it through a furnace. So too, those goyim who never responded to Divrei Torah, then kusim, of course, is not the correct word. Kusim is always used for a censor. The original word was for umais, or umais ha'elam. So their only takana is to be burned in Gehenna, now that they didn't listen to the Divrei Torah that were written on the actual, on the Avonim. So according to him, they would need to be literally Mizgayer. If they weren't, Mizgayer wouldn't have been any good. But had they just done Teshuvah as Goyim, there was no takana for them, because according to him, even those that were chutz l'gvulos, it says, lo techaya kol neshama. So if they were Jewish, they were Jewish. But to say that we're mekabel shavah mitzvos b'nei noach, we're tzaddikim, and so on, that wouldn't have been good enough. In which case, Kaman Ozel HaDetanya, according to which Mandiyomer was the following Braita, it says in the parsha of the Yifas Tehar, Ki Teitzela Milchama Loivecha, Vishavisa Shivyo, Vareita Bashivya Yishes Yifas Torah, and so on. So there it says, Ki Teitze. Ki Teitze means you're going out of your Gvulot, not that you're in Eretz Yisrael. L'rabot Kedanim Shebechutz Laretz. So this pasuk is telling me that Ki Teitze and Milchemes Rishus leaving Eretz Yisrael, if you see a Yifas Tehar, even from the Umays, the Shiva Amami, you can take her. And there's a din of Yifas Tehar. Because im chozrim b'teshuvah, mikablim otam. You see that according to him, according to Tan of this Braita, they don't have to be Jewish. Obviously, it's not talking about Jewish, because it was talking about Bashivya. So they weren't misguided. Nonetheless, there was no mitzvah to get rid of them. Must be, come on, Rabbi Shimon. This only works out of Liba to Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon said, and had they been mekabel, the Sheva mitzvahs, they would have been chayzer b'tshuva, there would have been no mitzvah to get rid of them. Because it's a holomadata, shima yu chayzer b'tshuva yu mekablim otam. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, as long as they were goyim, there was a mitzvah of lo techaya kol neshama, even on those who were Knanim Shebechutz Laretz, in which case we could never learn that Ki Teitze is to be a Marba, even Knanim, because Mamanav Shach, either they'd been Miskayer, which case obviously there would be no Shavita Shivyo, or it would be too late for them to be Chayzer B'Tshuva.